From Cap Radio in Sacramento, this is Insight. I'm your host, Vicky Gonzalez. Homeless advocates are demanding answers after the city of Sacramento's motel shelter program left vulnerable residents stranded on the street. The breakdown occurred as the city attempted to transition the program, which launched during the pandemic and largely serves mothers with young children. City officials reported that of the 150 families being moved last week, roughly 25 families were displaced after their vouchers were rejected by motel owners. The Sacramento Homeless Union said it had directly verified at least 80 displaced individuals in the immediate aftermath, ranging in age from a four-month-old infant to seniors in their late 70s. Sacramento Bee regional watchdog reporter Teresa Clift and Sac Bee photojournalist Renee C. Beyer followed several families left to sleep in parking lots and cars. They join us with their stories and how the changes are designed to save the city money as they work to close a budget deficit. Welcome.
Thanks for having us.
So, Teresa, let's just start off with the City Motel program. What is it? How does it work?
Yeah, the City Motel Shelter Program, the City of Sacramento started that program back in December 2020, so a few months after the COVID pandemic hit. And the goal of the program was to quickly get families with young children in motels so that they weren't on the streets, especially amid all of the evictions that were happening in the pandemic at its height. And so since then, the program has been in effect. Which hotels are being used has changed sometimes, and the operator has changed sometimes. But for the most part, the program was the same up until June 1st.
Mm. Yeah, reading a release from the city back in February of last year, I mean, since its inception, they reported that the program had served thousands of individuals, including, you know, more than 1,500 children. And that was more than a year ago since that release came out. So why did the city decide to change the program and move forward with this transition?
The city decided to change the program because they wanted to save money. The city has been facing a deficit this budget cycle. It started at around $66 million. Now it's down to about $1 million, I believe, or less. But part of the way they reduced the deficit down for this budget cycle was to change the motel shelter program. And they estimate the change that started on June 1st will save around $3 million.
Okay. Is that a big chunk of change when you take the entire city budget and the deficit that they're working to close? Is it a sizable, I guess, help to the city as they work to close a shortfall?
I think anything over $1 million is a sizable help right now with the budget deficit. Like I said, it started around 66, and they really don't want to have to lay off full-time employees that are positions that are actually filled, and they don't want to have to close shelters entirely. So they're looking everywhere they can to save some cash.
So there are a couple hundred rooms across the city at these motels, according to the city. How long had some people been living in these motel rooms?
Some folks had been living in the motel rooms for just a few months, whereas others had been living in the motel rooms for over a year or even over 2 years. Renee and I spoke to a grandmother that is the caretaker of her three grandchildren that has been in one of the rooms for, I believe, 3 years. So it wasn't intended for like a long-term stay. These are pretty small rooms, especially with kiddos. It kind of becomes de facto housing, though, when there isn't really housing. They all want housing. They all try really hard to get it. But sometimes it's just created a situation where they sort of get stuck in the motels, partly due to there being just a very low supply of affordable housing, and partly, according to a city audit from last year, you know, partly also because of the nonprofit Step Up on Second that runs the program is sort of staffed and can't always have the time to meet with the guests as much as maybe they should be to help them try to fill out paperwork and identify housing.
Right, because it's not just a motel program. It also offers wraparound support services to try to help families get into housing as well as other services as well. So for some individuals, this was like long-term housing. I mean, you're talking about months to even a couple of years for some families. Were they aware that they were going to have to move elsewhere? How were they told about the transition that was going to take place?
The families told us that the city started having meetings with the families a month or two ago to walk them through all the changes and, most importantly, to reassure them that they would still have a room. Even if they have to change motels, they would still have a room at least for 28 days, because under the new program, every 28 days, you have to sort of be approved again with a maximum stay of 6 months. So they were told they would all have a room at least for the first 28 days, and that's not what happened.
So when this new program was set to take effect on June 1st, last week, last Monday, how did you come to learn that there was a breakdown in this transition? I mean, even the city admits that there were about 25 families who were not able to get into motels.
Yeah. The city motel change wasn't really on my radar. It didn't really seem like it would be that big of a change. But then on June 1st, we started getting a lot of calls and texts from the activist organizations, Renee and I did, saying that with pictures of just like rows of vehicles and minivans with children sleeping in them. And Renee and I have been covering the homeless crisis in Sacramento. Well, I have for 7 years, she has for much longer. And that volume of kids in cars wasn't really something we've seen before, like on a given night like that. It seemed maybe this was like a mass eviction, or we didn't really know what was going on. But it went from there.
Renee, I want to bring you in. As Teresa just laid out, the two of you have collaborated and worked really closely together when talking about and reporting on this crisis of homelessness in Sacramento. I mean, what stood out to you about this breakdown when the both of you started to see images and get word of what was unfolding, since you have this important context, since you cover this so in-depthly?
Yeah, well, I mean, just when you see like sort of snapshots or whatever they were sending us of children, that really was alarming. And so, you know, getting out there, getting to the scene was really, I felt a sense of urgency like I hadn't felt before, because they really were on the brink and it seemed like they really didn't have anywhere to go at all. So, you know, one night I was out there past midnight, you know, and it's so important to not just tell stories, but show this reality, show this human condition. You know, and the families, the mothers, the children, you know, I've traveled the world doing stories on poverty, and I've never seen such a lack of safety nets before, really, in such a critical moment for families, especially here in Sacramento. So it was just an alarming, you know, red flag for us. We need to get on this.
And Renee, I mean, you're capturing these families, these mothers with young children, children also with special needs, during a stressful, a chaotic, an uncertain time. As a photographer, as a photojournalist, how do you approach capturing what they're going through with sensitivity?
I spent a lot of time with people, even though I was out there for maybe 4 hours. I was only probably shooting for about like maybe 20 minutes, you know. Listening to their stories, trying to understand what's going on, and just waiting for real moments to happen and unfold. And I am been told this many times with the coverage of my homeless by the subjects, that they really like me covering them because I spend that time and I actually listen to their plight.
Teresa, I mean, you and Renee spoke with several families that were displaced by this change. Some were sleeping in cars, in parking lots. Some had vehicles that were inoperable, but that just became shelter for them, you know, during this uncertain time. What would you like people to better understand about these families? I mean, you and Renee spent a lot of time with them, and you profiled them in your recent reporting.
Yeah, I think I'd like people to understand sort of the same thing that I'd like people to understand about the vast majority of unhoused families here in Sacramento, which is that they're all from here. They all grew up here. They also all desperately want housing and have been on all of the wait lists for housing for years and continue to add themselves to additional wait lists. As far as these specific families, like Renee said, it was especially hard to watch because it was just such a surprise. They did not think this was going to happen. They thought they were going to be able to get to a new room the same day. One of the women, their minivan doesn't work, so. Even trying to get to the new motel and then finding out that that motel actually won't take them, that was hard. And all this is happening with pretty hot weather. And a lot of the children are special needs or have autism, or one of the, I think, 7-year-old boys suffers from seizures. And they're just cramped sleeping in the cars. They can barely sleep. One of the dads has to get up at 4 a.m. for work every day. So they're trying to let him kind of sleep kind of the first shift. And then the other kids, the 13-year-old kid and the 6-year-old kid and the mom kind of try to sleep after he goes to work. And it's just a really sad situation out there.
Yeah. And I might add that, I mean, there's an image and there's this mom and her hands are in front of her face and she's just really broken down as they try to tow her car to another lot because they're trying to, you know, move and they don't know where they're going to go. And, you know, she says, "We always thought this wasn't our forever home, but we never thought we'd end up like this."
Yeah, I mean, because this was a planned transition, right? And it was meant to be a seamless transition. These mm-hmm. families were told with about a month's advance notice, as you just laid out, Teresa, that, hey, this is happening. There's going to be a motel for you. But as it turns out, there were about 25 families whose vouchers did not work at these motel operators. How did you come to understand why that unfolded? I mean, what did the city say? I mean, about the breakdown, Teresa?
The city said that the new program there will be a change with the new program. One of the goals is to hopefully not have people in the program for so long, like years, and to free up the case manager's time with Step Up on Second, the nonprofit, to work with the guests faster, to get them housed faster. Like I mentioned, the city audit found some things, including one family told the auditor that they'd been in the hotels for like 4 months and Step Up on Second had not contacted them yet. They're supposed to meet with them every week. So they're hoping to get people moved through quicker into housing and to free up some of the caseworkers' time. The activists are raising some concerns, though, with that plan. Like I mentioned, the new maximum stay you can be there is 6 months total. That's only if you get your get it renewed every month 5 times. And some of the families will have to pay a portion of the room now. And so if you're unable to pay or they don't renew you because after your first month they find you're not working hard enough to get housing, or they find that you broke a rule, you might get kicked out quicker. It could very easily lead to more evictions more frequently than the previous iteration of the program.
Were those families given any reason as to why they were on a do not rent list and the motel operators were like, hey, we're not going to accept your voucher?
The families that Renee and I talked to do not know why they were on the do not rent list. And we I asked the city, I asked Step Up on Second, and I asked the motels, and no one could tell me. The city just said that all that is handled by the motels now. It's no longer handled by the case managers. It's unclear if they'll get notice periods anymore for an eviction. The previous version of the program had like a 30-day notice for an eviction due to a rule breakage, and some warnings, some things in place. Now it's just up to the motel operators that if they even want to allow that family to stay there, even if the city has given them a voucher to stay in the motel program. There's like five motels, and they have to find one that'll accept them. And then it's up to the motels also to determine if they broke a rule. There is an appeal process for the rules, but already the previous iteration of the program was looked at by the audit as a bit too stringent with the rules. Some of them are about, I talked to one woman who said that she left her infant in the care of her 17-year-old for 2 minutes while she took the trash out, and that led to an eviction. You can't have unattended children. You can't have visitors. You can't have damage. But if you're in a hotel room for over a year, there's going to be some damage. So, yeah, it's unclear why specifically why those families were not allowed to were put on the do not rent list and couldn't actually were not actually told they could appeal it, even though there's still supposed to be an appeal process in place.
I mean, we're like a week plus from this transition. I mean, there were some families that were sleeping in their car for, I think, a week or for several days. Is everyone housed at this point? Like, what is the status?
From my understanding, the one woman we featured named Amy and her children, they got housing a couple of days ago. I have not heard of anyone else getting housing that we have featured. I believe they're all still, some are still sleeping in the vehicles, and some are in their previous motel that they're not supposed to be in anymore, sort of holding their ground.
You're listening to Insight here on CAP Radio, and if you're just joining us, we're talking with Teresa Clift and Renee C. Beyer with the Sacramento Bee about a breakdown with the City of Sacramento's motel shelter program, which displaced families onto the street. Renee, I mean, you've been covering this for many years, as has Teresa. I'm curious, like, with a historical perspective, have things gone any better in Sacramento since you started documenting this issue?
I mean, of course, there are some families who have, through our coverage, gotten a little bit more attention. But seriously, we are in a crisis here. And we have been for several years. And it just seems like it's not getting much better. The waiting lists are way long. The 211, Ariane Lang and I did a story on that. System is broken, and people call and they get no answers. We had a family that called from their motel room. They had slept outside that night with a disabled daughter, and they had no hope for her at all for any kind of housing. So, I mean, from what I've been able to witness, I am not seeing it approached with the urgency that it needs to be approached.
I mean, this is a crisis that pretty much touches all of us, not only in Sacramento. It's a top issue across California as well, from one city to the next. And I think over the years, there has been a growing amount of frustration. And, that can lead to maybe an unsympathetic view of individuals who are experiencing homelessness and who are unhoused. I mean, given that you have documented poverty all over the world, I mean, your book, Living on a Dollar a Day, The Lives and Faces of the World's Poor, has photos that continue to exhibit worldwide. What do you want people to continue to go back to be reminded by, as, this crisis is still very much persistent?
I want people to understand that everyone is on the brink, could be have a family member, a loved one, a friend on in this brink, in this moment of time, and that with the federal government, closing down programs, that it's only going to get worse. I mean, we're going to have the SNAP program is going to be eliminated pretty much. And, I really want them to try to have a deeper understanding of the humanity here and not just have a blind eye when they're looking at this issue.
Teresa, what comes next? I mean, the story is far from over. The reporting is far from over. What are you going to be following up on?
There are a few of the council members that have concerns about this. Lisa Kaplan has actually raised concerns about Step Up on Second for a couple years that I'm going to be following up with to see if they're planning to do anything. I also heard that Angelique Ashby and even maybe Congresswoman Matsui are also maybe concerned. So going to be checking with the electeds today and tomorrow. And I'm going to be investigating the situation further in the weeks to come.
Well, Teresa and Renee, thank you so much for joining us.
Our pleasure.
Thanks, Vicki.
And that is Sacramento Bee regional watchdog reporter Teresa Clift and Sacramento Bee photojournalist Renee C. Beyer discussing the breakdown with the city of Sacramento's motel shelter program, which displaced families onto the street. They followed mothers and children left to sleep in parking lots and cars after the city transitioned to a new program last week. Up next, we'll learn about a first-of-its-kind program on the West Coast dedicated to understanding the colon cancer epidemic in young adults, which is now the top cancer killer in people under age 50. You're listening to Insight on CAP Radio. I'm Vicki Gonzalez.